Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show.
You're either listening to this show for a couple of reasons. One, you're either a gardener, you want to be a gardener, you know somebody who's a gardener, or you accidentally picked up a gardening magazine at your local dentist office. So you're one of those people.
With your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Holly, let's go to the IV Organics 3-in-1 Plant Garden Hotline and bring in our next guest.
Kelly Smith Trimble is an author, editor, and huge vegetable gardening advocate. She lives in Knoxville, Tennessee, and recently her book, Vegetable Gardening Wisdom, hit the shelves. Welcome to the program, Kelly.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your appearing to be a very busy day to join us on the program and share some of your garden wisdom with Holly, myself, and all of our listeners.
Thank you.
So
yeah,
let's,
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, absolutely. Let's start with this. You like to grow lettuce as mulch. How can one use lettuce as mulch? When I think of mulch, I think of shredded leaves, straw, chemical-free grass clippings. How does this work for you?
Yeah, so, I mean, the purpose of mulch really is to, to protect the soil from moisture loss, and it's also to prevent weeds. So, if you can use low-growing plants like lettuce to do some of those things as well, and then you get the added benefit of being able to harvest it. So one of the ways I use lettuce, lettuce is usually a cool season crop. It's hard to grow it in the warm season, but if you grow it underneath a taller plant like tomatoes or maybe even peppers, you can kind of get dual purpose where the lettuce can kind of serve as a mulch where it is, shading the soil and preventing weeds from growing up. But you also get that benefit of the tomato shading the lettuce so you can actually harvest the lettuce in a warmer season. So it's kind of a dual-purpose technique.
Now, whenever that goes to bolt, do you allow it continue to grow or do you just chop it and drop it and move on?
I let my lettuce bolt and flower in the spring season, but when if it starts doing that the warmer in the summer, I will harvest what I can and then chop the rest down and just kind of work it into the soil.
Okay. So some people swear by the use of compost tea. Let's talk about compost tea. What is it? Is there good or bad compost tea? How does one apply this to their garden? And it's definitely not something you drink.
No, I would not recommend drinking it. But though it is kind of created like, some other teas like kombucha and things that are also really popular. I don't have a ton of experience with compost tea. I'll be honest. I have used like packets that people sell and just made like really small batches myself. But I have not brewed compost tea the way that like commercial brewers will brew it. So I know a little bit about it. It's basically that the idea is taking all of the benefits of compost and kind of concentrating it and using that in the soil. And also the idea is that you can use it on as a foliar spray, so on tomatoes and such, to prevent these diseases, like leaf diseases. I think there's, debate in the science community about whether that is truly beneficial or not, or more beneficial than just using compost directly in your soil. But there are a lot of products out there now, and there's a lot of people who kind of swear by compost tea. There's a lot that goes into it in terms of kind of a brewing process. So I do think that from what I've, read and what I've heard, it's better to have a process where you're actually aerating the tea as it's brewing rather than just kind of steeping compost in water. So I definitely, if you're going to try it, I think you should either get it from a source that is doing that aeration or to try doing that process at home yourself.
And I've been told and I've seen and I've read that the smaller the water molecules of the tea that you, the smaller the tinier the mist that you can get on the plant, the more available the plant can take it through its leaves. And I don't know how true that is, but obviously if you see a lot of sources, you kind of have to lean towards, well, that might be true, so you need to experiment with yourself in your garden.
Yeah.
We're approaching tomato season, and tomatoes are the most popular grown, and most people like tomatoes. I know a few people that don't, but I'm still friends with them. What are some of your tips for growing tomatoes, and how do you get them? What are some of your go-to tips?
Yeah. So you know, with, I've started planting my tomatoes, but in your area, you may not have started planting them yet. And one thing that I kind of tell people, you know, a lot of people talk to me about heirlooms, and I love heirloom varieties myself, but I do grow a mix of varieties. So I do grow, I try to, you know, try out new heirlooms every year because there are so many kind of interesting things out there. But I also do grow a couple kind of tried and true hybrids in my garden, like Better Boy, just for that reliability. So I would recommend that people, you know, grow a couple different varieties. And for me personally, I do grow both hybrids and heirlooms in my garden. The hybrids, you know, have a good track record of reliability, and so that is something you can kind of fall back on, which is nice. So this year I'm growing, gosh, I can't think of all the varieties, but I am growing like six heirlooms, some new to me, some not. Cherokee Purple is definitely one that's super popular in my area, so I'm growing that. But then I do have a couple hybrids that I'm growing too. Better Boy is kind of that go-to for me. And then when you're planting, I definitely follow that, the kind of guide of planting deep. So I used to work for a plant company, and that was something that we definitely talked about a lot, was to plant your tomatoes deeply. And that basically means, it can't even mean covering, the first, you know, maybe two or three leaves even of the plant if you do have, you know, multiple leaves on a transplant. So, and the idea behind that is really that those leaves can kind of turn into extra roots below the soil level and give you kind of a leg up on the root structure of that tomato plant.
Okay, so we were talking with Kelly Smith Trimble as an author, editor, and huge vegetable gardening advocate. Now, what's a recent mistake you made in your vegetable garden you know you shouldn't have done but did it anyway?
Yeah, this is a great question. I actually think to last summer, I made the mistake of going on a 2-week vacation at the end of May and beginning of June. It was an excellent vacation. It was kind of a trip of a lifetime, but it was not good timing for my garden. So I actually kind of didn't have the best garden last year because I was away from home that first, you know, really like crucial period, for getting everything in before it got super hot in my area. So I am not making that mistake this year. I've got all of my vacations planned for later in the summer, and in the fall. So I'm just kind of, you know, committing to being in my garden at that crucial time, which for me is kind of now through the beginning of June for getting everything in and getting it well established. It's that give and take between your gardening, you know, goals and dreams and your vacation dreams in the summer. You kind of have to strike a balance.
Well, yes, you know, for Holly and me, this is our golf game, this is our car collecting, this is what we do and part of our business. But for the average person, maybe it's just kind of a hobby, and okay, if it works, it's great, if not, okay. It just depends on what your prerogative is.
Yeah, true.
We do not mechanically till our garden. Now, we will go in with a garden fork and remove weeds and roots and all of that type of, and harvest when necessary. Are you a tiller or are you a non-tiller? And either or, why do you choose that particular method for your garden?
Yeah, so I am not a tiller. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, it's all bad. But I don't do a lot of tilling. We do have a mantis tiller that we will use to kind of break up some crabgrass and such if we're putting in a new bed. But I use raised beds, and I usually prep the area for a new bed with really just a shovel and a mattock. I mean, I kind of like to get out there and get my exercise, and I don't have a huge garden, so it's a good, something I can manage with actual hand tools. So I will kind of like remove some grass or some, you know, large amounts of weeds or crabgrass with just hand tools. And then I usually add more soil if I'm building a new bed. I kind of changed my garden over this year from wooden raised beds to a stone beds. So I spent a lot of time this winter kind of raising up that area with stacked stone and then adding some soil and compost. So I did prep the area, you know, again with hand tools and maybe a little bit with the mantis tiller, which is a really small tiller. It doesn't go very deep at all. And then I just add some soil and compost on top and kind of build up from there.
So you converted from wood beds to stone beds. Now, was these like what we see in the European area, these old rocks that you found in the creek, or did you go and purchase stones in order to construct your beds to get away from the rotting aspect of the lumber?
Yeah, that was kind of the situation, as we've had the raised beds, the wooden ones, for several years, and they were starting to rot a little bit. And I also just kind of, my garden is on a little bit of a slope, and so I kind of wanted to build something that would work with the slope rather than kind of working against it. And so, we purchased stack stone. It's local stone, but it's not, you know, from our property or anything. Purchased the stone, and I just built it up bit by bit. They're not super deep. In some areas, maybe 6 inches, maybe 8 inches on the edge. But so that was a good project for the winter. It has a really nice look to it. I mean, I didn't mortar it. It's just dry stack. But it fits together pretty well, and I think it's going to be a good season. It's really pretty. I really do like the look of it. And it also enabled me to do curved beds rather than just, you know, straight kind of rectangular design. And I really am enjoying playing with that, just visually, like seeing more of a rounded kind of design for my garden. I really like the look and feel of it.
Okay. So where can we find your book and more about you?
Yeah, so the book is available, you know, nationwide. I'm sure that it's, or hope it's in a local store and different local stores in your area. I'm not actually sure about specific ones, but it's also available online. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Barnes & Noble. And then you can also purchase from my own website if you're interested in that. And my website is my full name. It's KellySmithTrimble.com. So there's a little bit more information about me on there, and then there's links to purchase. That's where I am.
And the book is Vegetable Gardening Wisdom. It's a very good book. I would highly recommend you, if you're not going to buy it, see if your local library can get it for you. And we greatly appreciate you taking time on the program to enlighten us, Kelly, on some of the gardening information that you shared with Holly, myself, and all of our listeners.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.
Absolutely.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.